invite you to take your Bibles and follow along as we look through the lesson this evening. We're going to look at a lesson that's very important. If you have the handout, you'll know what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what it means to follow Jesus. And I hope that this lesson be profitable to us because we all understand each one of us who are children of God are following Jesus. And we need to know how what that means and how we can better follow Jesus as the disciples of Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And that's words that he's talking metaphorically about. He's talking about Christians as those who are followers of him even today. I believe he's speaking about us as being the sheep that are following Christ. And we need to listen when Jesus says about listening to the voice of Jesus and following him and always look to Jesus for our every step that we take in this life today. We're going to first look at what it means to follow Jesus. And following Jesus, I believe, means it starts out with a decision that we make. We may start out with a decision that we're going to follow Jesus. Now, well, if you take your Bibles, and we'll turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to see how the disciples, they first had to decide who Jesus was, who the Christ was, the Bible speaks of there. In John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51, I know this is a lengthy reading, but I want us to look and see how the disciples, when they first met Jesus, and how that they came to believe and to follow him. The Bible tells us how he chose his disciples and those who chose to follow him. In John chapter 1, verse 35 beginning, the Bible says, "And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Now, first I want to stop here and say, you go back up to the first verses we read. How when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," they understood what that meant. That he was the one they were looking for. The one that they should follow instead of John. You know, John had disciples himself, those who followed John. Did you know that John pointed all his disciples to Jesus? And those to follow him said, "Follow him." And so this is what happened here. They followed Jesus from this point. Verse 41 says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith him, to him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and he saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And you see a pattern here. How each one of these, when they see who Jesus is, they make a decision there. They're deciding who to follow, and they decide rightly to follow Jesus, as all of these disciples did. And the Bible tells us in verse 46, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You know, he had to question, well, could anything good come out of Nazareth? But Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Notice how easy it was to prove to Nathanael that he was the Son of God. Now, this was not easy because it was a miracle. Jesus knew exactly where Nathanael was and what he said and what kind of, because he knew the thoughts of man. But here the Bible says in verse 49 that he called him Rabbi. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And we will decide who Jesus is. Was he who Nathanael said he was? I truly believe the Bible points us to that direction, that Jesus is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Verse 50 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Notice he was thinking about talking about the miracles that he would see, the things that Christ did that would show to bring him to faith. And truly that did strengthen his faith to see those things. Verse 51, he said, he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so he talks about the future things that Nathanael would see and others, his disciples would see these things. And they would first decide that they would follow him because of that. And truly, that was the point of miracles. It was to prove him to be the Son of God. And we don't have to have miracles to know that today. But you know, we see another evidence. Peter decided on the evidence of faith. Turn over to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Luke chapter 5, and we'll read what Peter saw that convinced him that he was to follow Christ. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, notice this, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, you and I could think that as well. If we were to see the miracles of Jesus firsthand, we would be convinced that we're to follow this man because he truly is who he says he is to be. And so we understand here Peter telling him, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so all this shows us the evidence of faith. And that was the point. God wanted them to see his son and follow his son. And these miracles produce faith. This was not a blind decision that Peter made. This is not something that did not have any type of evidence. You know, sometimes when we follow somebody, we don't know what they're capable of, what they're not capable of. But here, people of the world may be that way, but this was not that type of decision. This was a decision to follow someone who could actually do what he claimed or what he proposed to do. And our evidence today, you know, we try to get people to follow Jesus. Our evidence today is to the written Word of God. In John chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, here the Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We talk to our friends and neighbors. We must tell them who Jesus is. You know, he's not someone who's an imposter today. He's not someone who was a fraud back then. But he truly was the Son of God. And we can read the evidence when Jesus did the miracles that he did, performed those things. That was what causes people to want to follow him. And I believe that's what convinced, that's why you follow him tonight. It's because you have seen through the written word the fact that Jesus is someone for us to emulate and follow today. But there were several opinions. I want to suggest to you tonight, there were several opinions that men had while Jesus was living here in this world, that they had to overcome these opinions. His disciples were out to try to baptize when he told them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here they were to go out and talk to people and to the house of Israel to convince them that they needed to be baptized of Jesus. But here in Matthew 16, here after a little while, the disciples have been with him for some time. And here the Bible tells us, Matthew 16, verse 13, down to verse 16, says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? In other words, Jesus wanted to know, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, that was, I don't believe Peter had to hesitate about that. I believe Peter was convinced the more time he spent with Christ, the more convinced he was that he's fallen the right person, that they've not found an imposter. You know, when John the Baptist one time questioned his faith about Jesus as the Messiah, he was in prison. I believe that he was in prison and he was about to be beheaded. But he asked about, was he really the Christ or should we look for another? Peter didn't have to think about that because he knew, was assured, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so there may be opinions. Some might say he was John the Baptist, Elias, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But there's only one truth about who Jesus was. And there's people today who have the same attitude today. They think, oh, Jesus was a good man. Jesus was somebody we might ought to emulate as a great teacher like Muhammad or some other man that have walked this earth. But I would suggest to you tonight that Jesus is unlike any other man who's ever walked upon the face of this earth. Jesus is worthy of our emulation. He's worthy of us to follow Him because He truly was who He said He was. The Son of God who came down from heaven in order to show us the way that we should live in this life today. And I will suggest to you also that some made the wrong decision about Jesus. In John chapter 10, we read many times about those Jews who did not believe Christ, and they did not follow Christ. You know, their decision was based upon what they thought about Christ. And they thought He was an imposter, someone who deceived the people. And there was at times divisions over this, because some say, well, how could He make whole the man who was born blind? But yet, there's in John chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 24. Here the Bible says, then the Jews came round about Him, and He said unto them, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. You know, as if Jesus' miracles was not enough. But here Jesus says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. The fact that because they chose the wrong decision about who Christ was, that led them down the wrong road of not following Him. And I believe many people are on that same road today because they decide that Jesus was a good man or a prophet or somebody that was good as a teacher. They've not decided to follow Him. But we must make the right decision. Either He is the Son of God or He's not. Either He is the true prophet that Moses spoke of in Deuteronomy 31 or He's not. So we must look to who Jesus is and base our decision upon the written Word of God. I also want to look at two different attitudes. And I can tell you right now, there's attitudes people have just like this today. But let's look at these two attitudes. In John 9, right after the man who was born blind was healed. And here the Bible is talking about, the man who was born blind asked the question, will ye also be His disciples? They had pestered Him about, well, how was you made whole? And he kept telling them that Jesus made me whole and exactly how He did that. Well, here He said, will ye also be His disciples? Then they reviled Him and said, thou art His disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And you know what the disciple is? Someone who follows someone and has that as their master, someone they emulate and imitate. And so they were ones who were Moses' disciples. But you know, if I look at verse 29, it says, but we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And that's really the bottom line, wasn't it? They did not know truly who Jesus was. And really, that's sad because Jesus could have gave them life. They did not come to Him that they might have life, is what Jesus would say about them. But look at the attitude that Peter had in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 60. After they had several who turned away from Christ, all the multitude turned away from Christ because of His hard sayings. Then Jesus turned His disciples and said, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you're looking for eternal life tonight, and I hope that you are, you need to know that if you follow Jesus, you'll not be disappointed. If you decide to surrender your life over to Him, that you will not lose anything that you give in sacrifice to Him, that Christ will, in the end, deliver that promise. Because Peter understood that, and he says in verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a different attitude than the Jews had. The Jews had it. We don't know where He's from. We don't know where He's from and His doctrine and such. But Peter knew. Peter was sure at this point that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to ask you tonight, will you follow Jesus based on who He is? Will you look at the evidence the Scriptures has and know that, and if you've never just really totally gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ in effort to follow Him, why don't you consider that tonight? Why don't you look to who He is and realize that there's no better person you could ever emulate and try to follow than Jesus Christ? In John 8, verse 12, we look at the evidence what Jesus said He was. In John 8, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What Jesus claimed is, if you walk and you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. And I will tell you, there's a lot of people you can follow. You'll walk in darkness. Every other person you follow besides Christ, there'll be times you'll walk in darkness. But if you follow Jesus, you know He's going to deliver what He says He will. And I also want to look at John chapter 6. Another claim of Jesus, the Bible says in verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." No one can make that claim but Jesus. Jesus was the one who offers that to us. And verse 36 says, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." It's sad to know that they had the very Son of God talking to them, right in their presence, right in their midst, while He was here on this earth. And yet they did not believe who He was and would not follow Him. But you know, we have the hindsight. We have that 20/20 vision to look backwards at the things that happened while Jesus was here on this earth. And we can look perfectly and understand that Jesus will be that bread for us. He'll sustain us. He will give us what we need spiritually to help us walk every day of this life. You know, we eat physically, but we must also eat spiritually the bread that Jesus offers us. We follow Jesus based on who He is. Let's look at another comparison. In John 8, verse 24, the Bible says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." You know what Jesus is saying here? That if you don't follow me, if you do not come to me, you're going to die in sin. In your sins is what He says. In other words, we need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. But let's look at the other side of this. In John 11, verse 25, He's talking about somebody who follows Christ. "And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And that tells us something. That if we believe in Christ, we'll not have to die. The Bible says in verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And I ask you the same question tonight. Do you believe that Jesus can give you life? You know, those graves out there that we go oftentimes and see loved ones and those of our family. You know, there's times we go and we see those and we think we'd love for them to come out of those graves and be alive once again. But Christ can do that. Christ is the only one that can do that. He is the resurrection and the life. And if we believe in Him, we put our trust in Him, and we follow Him, we can see the resurrection and live forever with Him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To not have to die, but just have to die physically once, but to never have to die spiritually, is what Jesus offers us today. There's a song we sing, and it's a beautiful song. It has a meaning. I'm not going to try to sing it tonight, but I do want to read the words because it has an application to what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about deciding who Jesus is. And this song says, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." You know what that's saying is, you've got to make that decision tonight. You've got to, within yourself, decide that I'm going to follow Jesus based upon what we talked about tonight, based upon the written Word of God. And that song speaks a spiritual truth to us.
it says a truth that is undeniable from the Word of God, that we must truly decide that we want to follow Jesus and not turn back on that decision. And that brings us to our next point. The point is that following Jesus means a commitment. I believe that's probably the next point, probably our last point of the night as well. But let's look at what it means. In following Jesus, it means making a commitment. In Matthew chapter 4, I want to look at disciples once again because they show us what making a commitment and following Jesus is all about. The Bible says in verse 18 of Matthew 4, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." And again, in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 21 beginning, it says, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now I want to ask you tonight, what kind of commitment did they make? Was it a commitment of sacrifice? Was it a sacrifice to walk away from their only sense of livelihood, their only means of livelihood? To do what they did was meaning they left their father and their mother, or actually the Bible says Zebedee, their father there, and how they left this. And we know Peter, from the rest of the four Gospels, that Peter had a wife. He had to leave his wife in order to follow Jesus because Jesus healed his mother-in-law at a certain time. And so this shows that they had a commitment. You know, you do not sacrifice like that if you're not committed to the Lord. You will not, absolutely will not do that unless you are 100% sure and believe what you are following is the cause that you need to follow and need to give that up in order to follow that. And I also want to ask you this. Could we have done what Peter and the other fishermen did? Just leave their nets immediately. Leave that and leave an empty boat there. And say, you know, I'm going to leave everything I know and going to follow Jesus. And I don't know, there's some uncertainty there. Because sometimes we need security. We need to know how we're going to have our next meal and such. But you know, they didn't know that. Like we're going to read about, Jesus said, if you follow me, you know, I don't have a place to dwell. The foxes have holes and birds there have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's a sacrifice to just give up everything, pack up everything and follow Jesus. I tell you, that's something for us to think about, consider. The next time we make sacrifices, or the need of making sacrifices, in our commitment to serving God and serving Christ. You know, Jesus wanted committed followers. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 beginning, the Bible says, "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." You know what Jesus is saying? You're going to have to put self behind in order to follow me. You're going to have to deny and make sacrifices. It's going to hurt in some ways because we're used to putting self first here in this world today. But Jesus said you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put first yourself. And he said in verse 24 about saving our life, we'll lose it. And I believe that's showing us how committed we need to be. That if we want to save our life the way we want it, then we're going to lose everything. And I believe that's a selfish life that simply does not want to follow Jesus, but will say, well, I'm too busy to follow the Lord. But if we lose our life, in other words, of giving over to Him, our life to Him, then we will find it. And we will save it in the last day. There may be sacrifices, but I know that Jesus will reward every sacrifice. No bigger commitment that you'll ever make in your life. But there's no commitment like this commitment that will reap so much better rewards after this life is over. We'll talk about that just later in the lessons. I want to say to you tonight, though, not all would commit to Jesus like the disciples did. You know, we saw how they left their ships and left their father and such and did what they did to serve Christ. But in Luke chapter 9, as Brother Nathan read, Luke chapter 9, let's read what some of these said to Jesus when he asked the same thing if they would follow him. Right? So they volunteered first. And the Bible says, verse 57, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want you to notice the key to all three of these men who came and said, I'll follow you. And they said, I want to follow you, Jesus. And that was good. Their intentions were good. But yet their follow-through was not like Jesus wanted them to do. The Bible tells us the first one said, Let me follow you, Lord. But Jesus tells him, If you follow me, we're not going to have a certain place to dwell. There'll be uncertainty there. And you'll maybe not have a place to lay your head like a normal household, normal place to stay in abode. But he said, Follow me. Another one said, Follow me, but said, Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Notice the key here is, First, let me go and bury my father. And I believe that's the key to this, is the fact that these men wanted to do something first before they followed Jesus. And the last one said, First, let me go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus, he said something that seems pretty strict, but I believe he knew this man's heart, that if he went back home, that he might change his mind about his decision. And verse 62 says, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, if we look back, if we say, well, you know, I like to follow Jesus, and a lot of people say that. But yet if we simply say that and we don't follow through with it, then we're not really doing what Jesus wants us to do as far as following Him is concerned. But I also want to show you tonight that we show our commitment tonight. Our commitment by our actions, if you will. By our sacrifice and devotion and faithfulness. And I want to talk just for a few minutes about this. The fact that what are we sacrificing tonight? Have we made any commitments to Jesus to follow Him? Have we given up any time or any effort at all, devotion and faithfulness when it comes to attendance, when it comes to Bible reading and prayer? All of that is something we need to be, how we show we follow Jesus, by the commitment we make. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul knew who Jesus was. You know, he suffered a lot of things. That's the reason why he made three preaching trips. He sacrificed, made a commitment in that sacrifice. You know, the reason that drove him was he knew exactly who he was following. Most people don't know who they're following. They may be aimlessly following something or they're following the course of this world. But Paul knew who he's following. And he knew that God was able and Jesus was able to keep what he had committed unto him against that day. And I believe he's talking about the day of judgment. Day of reward for the Apostle Paul. Finally, I want to look at the fact that Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, here is the evidence of his commitment. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, when you saw Paul, you didn't see the same man who persecuted the Christians. You saw someone who was a committed follower of Christ. Someone had crucified himself to this world. The last part of that song, or one other verse of that song, goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus, the world behind me, the cross before me. And that means something to a child of God. We live that way. The world needs to be behind us. Worldly goals, worldly aspirations, the things of this world. We make a commitment that the world is not what we love today. But the cross is the way to salvation, the way to follow Christ. And you've got to go to the cross this evening. If you want to be saved, if you want to know what it means to follow Christ, you've got to start out following Him. And you do that by obedience to Him. Remember what Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." You know how we can do that? By listening to what Jesus says about salvation. When He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," we've got to listen to that in order to become His sheep. We've got to listen to what Jesus said about faith in Him, about repentance. When He said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And confession. We must confess Christ for Him to confess us before God and for the angels before the throne. If you're here this evening and you're subject to God's invitation call, why don't you come to Jesus this evening as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.